What's up, Bandhive crew? James here. And before we jump into this episode, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever wished there was a way to connect with me as well as other listeners in real time? I have the solution. I finally got around to making a Bandhive Discord server, which is people have been asking me for years and I just wasn't listening. I wish I had done this sooner because I couldn't be happier with the results. It's been fantastic. And we would love to see you join us. We have discussions about the music business, gear, the podcast, and a general channel as well. You can join the discussion now by visiting bandhive.rocks/discord. Again, that is bandhive.rocks/discord. Welcome to episode 59 of the Bandhive Podcast.
You're listening to the Bandhive Podcast, the number one online resource for DIY bands to learn about the music business and touring. If you want to turn your band into a lean, mean touring machine, you're in the right place. Now, let's get this show on the road.
It is time for another and first episode of the Bandhive Podcast, which is also episode 59 of the Bandhive Podcast, which you're probably thinking, what? But that's what we're here to talk about today. My name is James Cross, and I'm here with Matt Hose of Alive in Barcelona. It feels good to be back recording. We had a nice Christmas break. For me, it was super relaxing. I hope it was the same for you. How are you today, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good, James. How's everything up there in Vermont?
That's great to hear. Things are good here. Really can't complain. I treated myself to a 3D printer a few weeks ago, and I've been quite busy. Anyone who follows me on social media has seen the Nintendo Switch cases that I've been making for friends and family. That was like the Christmas gift of the year. And so I've been having fun with that, and I'm already expanding the system and adding upgrades and stuff. So that's my nerd out moment, but that's the last couple of weeks. And of course, Christmas was here, and my highlight was I got a second wonderful poster of my dog, Bapu, and I'm very, very pleased. And the frame for it is coming in today. So that's all the good news on my end. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm having a very good couple of weeks.
Well, that's great, man.
Yeah, how about you, Matt? How was your Christmas?
You know, Christmas was wonderful. We had the kids with the grandparents, so that was, you know, really nice. And it was just, you know, nice to have the whole family around. Holidays are always crazy. You know, both me and my wife come from large families, so it's, you know, a bunch of fun and a bunch of chaos at the same time. So if you're good at harnessing chaos, then, which I am, it's a blast.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know that feeling to an extent, because in my family, both my parents have two siblings. However, I only have one cousin on each side. So it's like, go up a level and it's a big family, but my age, I only have one cousin on either side, and they're both like 7 to 10 years older than me. So it's an interesting combination because it's a big family, but also not.
I'm one of three, but my wife is one of seven.
Oh boy.
My dad, he's the oldest of nine, and my wife's mother is one of five. There's just always like mass amounts of people. No matter where we do Christmas, it's always just like we get a small group. Like on my dad's side, if we get a small group of cousins together, there's about 15 to 20 of us. That's a small group. So
yeah,
it's, you know, that's like less than half of my cousins just from my dad's side.
That's incredible. That makes me remember like the 90s kids movies like Beethoven, where they go have a family reunion and there's like 50 people there. I was always like, how do you get 50 people? I can count like on two hands all my family.
This is what we used to do when all of the members of our extended family, because not only is my dad the oldest of nine, but also his mom was the oldest of nine and her dad was the oldest of 10. So all of these kids, whenever we would have a family reunion, we would rent the college in Newton, Kansas. And we would go to Newton, Kansas. They would open up one of their dormitory wings for us. And we would literally fill one of the entire dormitory buildings. They staffed the cafeteria while we were there.
That is impressive.
So, like, that's just to put into perspective how large my family is. Every family reunion I've ever been to, I've met new family members that I never knew I had.
That sounds really awesome. Very chaotic, but also that's got to be a blast. You just have the campus to yourselves and like go hang out with your family.
Yep. And on top of that, because you're all family, it's like initial camaraderie. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that does sound very cool. I can't say I envy that experience, but I also can imagine having a blast if I did have that experience.
The nice thing is that you're on a college campus, so you can pair off, you know, or like, at least one of the days, because I think we go for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And one of the days we always do like an ultimate Frisbee game, you know, so it's like all the cousins and stuff like that. You know, they do a good job of keeping things fresh. A lot of people bring like scooters or rollerblades or skateboards and cruise around on the beautiful college campus because, you know, there's literally just sidewalks everywhere. So you can have a lot of fun there.
That's amazing. Well, to let people off of the cliffhanger about what's going on, we're changing our name to Band Hive, or the Band Hive Podcast in the case of the podcast. So that's how this is the first episode of the Band Hive Podcast, yet also episode 59 of the Band Hive Podcast. Today, we're just going to talk about the changes, why we're doing this, what you need to know, all that kind of stuff. And just to sum things up, for you, our listeners, nothing's really changing. We're going to provide the same content that you enjoy listening to, at least we hope you enjoy. And if you don't, why are you still listening? But thank you for listening anyway. So you may have noticed in the past couple days or weeks on social media, our new logo and brand, especially if you were in our Facebook group, you're one of the first people to see our new logo. We are fully embracing the hive. Our new logo is a bee. I don't know what to say. I just want to say thank you to our designer, Richard Portman. He did a great job with it. I'm really glad we hired him because this is way better than the logo I made 2 years ago. I'll leave it at that for now. But the main thing that we are doing here is this name change will better encompass what we want to achieve with Band Hive. The first reason we're making this change is that Band Hive is more community focused just with its name. Because one of the definitions for hive is a place in which people are busily occupied. So we want this to be something where there's lots of involvement from not just us and other people working with Band Hive, but also the community, sharing resources, asking questions, all that kind of stuff. So this image of a hive versus like an office or a bureaucracy is something that we think will better suit both us as well as our followers and listeners. And it also sounds less formal than our old name. Band Hive is like more pep in your step, happy. Like, this is a cool thing. It's not like, oh, this is going to get me down. So those are two of the first reasons, Matt. And I think it's really going to do some good stuff for us in the long run, as well as for the listeners.
I completely agree. You know, the most important thing, I think, in Band Hive is the idea of a hive mind. If you think about a beehive, you have a bunch of workers individually performing tasks for the hive. Everybody works individually for the purpose of coming together and making the hive better. And that's kind of what we want to push onto you guys, is that each one of you, you're a worker bee. The world's intimidating. You got to get out there by yourself. Like, nobody's out there checking up on the bees saying, hey, are you gathering your pollen? Are you getting your nectar? No, they're not. They're not asking that. The bees go out and they do it by themselves. And then they come back and they bring what they collected. They bring that back to the table. Being a part of a hive mind is not just about being the collective, but it's also about making sure that you're staying consistent, holding yourself accountable. So that way, when you return to the hive, you have something to show. It's not just about what we can do as a collective, but it's also about what you can do as an individual for the collective.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so much about building a community around what we do, because that's really where the value comes in. Like, you know, Matt, you and Aaron and I can all talk about our experiences for hours on end. But because there are so many different variables in the music industry, there's no way that any one or even three people can know everything about the music industry. I feel it's safe to say for any industry, but especially in music, like the way you approach being in a rock band is probably going to be very different to the way you approach a rap career or something like that. Now, obviously, there are crossovers and fundamentals that everyone should follow, like being a go-giver, that's a universal principle. But when it comes down to the, you know, minute details of something, you're going to see differences from one genre to another. You're going to see differences from one geographic area to another. You know, what standard practice here in the States might be unheard of in Australia or Japan or Europe or who knows where. Those are just some examples of why we think it's so important to have an active community that can help share knowledge with one another. Continuing down the path of why we think BandHive is a better name, no pun intended, it doesn't sound as old and outdated. Like I was saying earlier, it has more pep in your step, but it's also easier to spell. It's also much shorter, so people don't have to remember a long name or how to spell words that are old and outdated. Another thing is that the word better in our old name kind of implied that bands and artists who take business seriously are better than people who just love making music as a hobby. And that's kind of bugged me for a while, because that's not where we wanted to go with it, but that's kind of what it shifted into, at least as far as a naming standpoint. To the point that I started making disclaimers on some episodes when we were talking about stuff like that, saying, hey, you know, if you want to be a hobbyist artist, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Musical ability and business savvy don't always have to go together, but they're also not mutually exclusive. If you want to have a music career, absolutely, you have to know how to run a business. But if you just want to have a great time playing music with your friends, that's fine too. And that doesn't mean that somebody who takes their career seriously is a better musician. You know, you could be the best musician in the world and just play at home and no one ever hears you. That's fine. Like, if that's what you want, there's no issue that I see with that, as long as that's what you want. And who knows? Like, maybe someday you'll change your mind and all of a sudden you'll be known as, you know, the best guitarist in the world, the best bass player in the world, the best singer. Who knows? Like, the best French horn player in the world. Who knows? There's so many different instruments that you can be the best in the world at. The main thing is we want to shift away from implying that somebody is better if they take their career seriously. And that ties back into the community aspect, you know? If somebody is a hobbyist and wants to get started taking their career seriously, we don't want them to be scared away. We want them to be welcomed into the community and be able to feel like they belong and can improve themselves by being part of that community. Matt, when we were talking earlier, you had a great point about branding with some examples. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we obviously talk about brand a lot, and in my opinion, visual first. Now, there are other aspects to it, but when you close your eyes and I say McDonald's, the golden arches pop into your brain. When I say apple, you see an apple with a chunk bitten out of it. When I say Spotify, you think a green circle with little bars in it. You identify those brands. And so for us, I think that we really, A, wanted to take a step away from something that eventually will stagnate and move towards something that is visually stimulating. And also, like you mentioned earlier, James, easy to say. BandHive is easy to say. It's easy to spell. It's easy to remember. It talks about our main demographic. We're working towards bands. Now, obviously, that includes other, you know, we include artists, we include rappers, we include, you know, whoever wants to listen to this and thinks that they can benefit. You know, everyone is welcome. But we try to encompass exactly what we're going for. And then there's also a little bit of mystery to it, you know, and why the Hive? Well, once you get in, you kind of start to learn why the Hive. You start to learn about the community. You start to learn about each individual worker doing what they're supposed to do to build a cumulative product or a cumulative structure or a cumulative brand. And so what we are trying to do in this switch is make an identifiable brand, make something that you recognize by looking at it. And so we invite everybody to look at our new logo and tell us what you think. Tell us your honest thoughts. We love criticism. That's the whole point of what we do is we want a community. And so feedback is good. We always encourage you guys to get feedback from your peers. And we would also like feedback from you. So don't hesitate to shoot us messages or, you know, comment in the group. If you're in the group, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Now with this, we implemented a couple different things. One was we brought in the new logo. Two was we changed the name so that it complemented the logo. And we also have a little mascot now. Our B, or as we like to call him, the basic B, because he's playing a 5-string bass. He's now our mascot. Now our goal, and you guys are in this lucky position, like all of our listeners who have been here since the beginning, or who have joined prior to this point and who will plan on continuing to listen, you guys will actually get to see the slow progression of us building this brand. You'll actually get to watch us. You'll get to see how we use our mascot. You'll get to see how we tie, you know, the hive into everything. And that's kind of the goal with this whole rebrand is not just for us to be like, oh, this is easier to remember, but also for you guys. You can literally watch us do what we are trying to tell you to do.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously branding for an organization like BandHive is going to be a little different than it is for a band, but overall the same things apply. So for example, you know, our designer, Richard Portman, his work is amazing. And I'm so glad that somebody recommended him to us. There were other designers that were very good at what they do. For example, there was a designer who submitted some work, and he does amazing band logos. Great work, but wasn't exactly a fit for what we're doing. So keep in mind that when you are branding your own band, you should try to find somebody who works in the style that you like. You know, don't just find any graphic designer. I'm sure the guy who does band logos could have done a good logo for us, but I don't think it would have been as good as what Richard does because his specialty is branding for corporations and businesses and stuff like that. It's just a different style. So ours is cleaner. One of the options he presented actually looked, it was a little hive made out of equalizer bars. So it looked kind of like a streaming service logo and it looked really cool. And if we were a tech company, I probably would have picked that one. It's a different style and it's a different aesthetic. And so again, there will be small differences between what an artist would do and what we are doing. But if you are interested in learning about branding, definitely stay tuned to see what we're doing with BandHive because it will be relevant to you. And absolutely feel free to ask any questions. On that note, if you do have questions, all our websites and social media will be updated. The main thing is the website will be bandhive.rocks. And to go back a bit, this is pretty much the only thing you have to pay attention to and make note of for the future. Our old site won't be around much longer. So bandhive.rocks is the site. That's not .com. It's bandhive.rocks. And our emails are super easy. support@bandhive.rocks, james@bandhive.rocks, Matt@bandhive.rocks and Aaron@bandhive.rocks. So you can reach any one of the three of us that way or send it to support and we all three have access to that inbox and we can check it out. And that way, if you have questions or suggestions for episode topics, all that kind of stuff, then we can all see it and discuss it internally and probably do a podcast episode about it or a blog post or whatever seems fitting. Our Instagram will also be updated. It will probably be bandhive.rocks. Unfortunately, there is a band from Poland who hasn't posted since 2013 who has that name and a grand total of one follower. Their name is Hive. I don't know why they didn't do Hive Band. They did BandHive. But either way, don't go to @bandhive and follow them because that's not us. We'll be sure to put the Instagram link in the show notes, which you can find at bandhive.rocks/59. That's the number 59. And we'll have our Instagram link, whatever it ends up being in there. And we'll also have the new link for our Facebook group, which you can find by visiting bandhive.rocks/group. And that'll redirect you to the Facebook URL. So yeah, that's really the only thing you have to pay attention to and make a change. Otherwise, everything else is going to stay the same. We'll still be releasing episodes every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. We're still going to have the active community. We're going to be talking with everyone who has questions, all that kind of stuff. We'll be looking for more guests. You know, in this first year, we had amazing guests. Matt, who do you think was your favorite guest of this first year? Just to put you on the spot.
I think it was really awesome having Howie. You know, he had a lot of very real content. You know, just a very, as a person, he's very transparent about what he does and about what he loves. And, you know, it's always good to have somebody who's basically struggled and overcome in the music industry and adapted and figured out how to really pursue a career that he loves. So I think he was absolutely wonderful to have.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think there is any one that is more beneficial than the others because all the people that we've had, it's all been very drastically different topics, drastically different subjects, and really trying to focus on you know, on different facets of the music industry. So I think I enjoyed the conversation with Howie more than any other, just because that guy is easy to talk to, very easy to talk to. He could talk for years about what he loves. And whenever you get in a conversation with somebody like that, it's just, it's riveting, you know? So I enjoyed that, but there's no wrong answer. They're all wonderful. And we appreciate each and every person who's come onto our show and really who's, you know, poured their knowledge into our community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Howie was probably one of the most enjoyable conversations as well. But everyone who's been on the show, you know, Aaron Zimmer from Least of All, that was really fun because he had the small indie label, single pressing side of things going on. Christian James of James and the Giant Sleep. Christian was amazing. They talked about video and the mindset behind having a music career. You know, they were saying that if they had the choice between food or recording music, they would go with recording music. And I think that's the mindset that leads to a successful musician. And I mean, that's like, I could see Howie doing that too. Some of the stuff he was talking about in the 20 years, like he made those choices, the tough choices between doing what he loved or, you know, having responsibilities at home. And I see that same thing with Christian, with what they're doing. And I think that really, that's a great mindset for artists. And then we had Ryan Cohen of Robot Dog Studio talking about live streaming and that kind of stuff. That was great. Brandon Cunningham of Kauai AF did a Black Lives Matter episode back in June, shortly after George Floyd was killed. And that was riveting because he talked so much about injustice and inequality in the music world, both from the industry standpoint, but also from in the standpoint of fans. People saying, why are you making pop punk? You're black. Like, shouldn't you be rapping? So I think if you haven't listened to that episode, that's a really important episode to listen to. I think that's episode 30, which is at bandhive.rocks/30. And it just goes so in depth into the issues that we have in our own music community. And then before that, we had Infinite Signal and Josh Nachbar. Those were the first two interviews. Those were such a blast as well. I think you were on the one with Josh and Infinite Signal was with Aaron, but all of the people we've had on the show have been incredibly integral, but also thought-provoking to spur further conversations and ideas for other episode topics or just to reflect in ourselves and see what we can do better for ourselves, for the community, for anything, really. It's been amazing to have so many guests, and I absolutely look forward to having more guests on the Bandhive podcast in the years to come. We are over 1 year with the podcast now, so that's a blast. And I just got to say, Matt, thank you for being here on the podcast so often. Same goes to Aaron, which on that note, Aaron should be back soon. So if anybody out there has been missing his lovely voice on the podcast, fear not, he'll be back. I believe the first episodes we record in 2021 will have a reappearance from Aaron, but if not, it'll be soon. So to wrap things up, rebranding is a total pain. I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it is also so worth it. And to close things out, we have a question for you. And then Matt, I think we're going to have you tell a story about your situation rebranding. So the question for everyone is this: have you ever had to rebrand one of your bands or solo projects or anything like that? Let us know what happened and how you handled it by heading on over to our Facebook Hive at bandhive.rocks/group, or by searching for Bandhive on Facebook. You can join our group there and join the discussion about rebranding. And Matt, I know for you guys, Alive in Barcelona, that is a new name. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we wrap things up?
Absolutely. Yeah. And now at this point, we've been Alive in Barcelona for, three and a half-ish years, I want to say. I'm trying to think of, like 3 1/4 years. And, you know, before that, we were the Persevering Promise. Very hard to say, very hard to spell. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I would literally hand a promo card to somebody and they would go, "The Preserving Promise."
Ooh.
I actually one time gave somebody a promo card and he looked at it and goes, "Preserving Promise." And I said, "Nope, try again." He goes, "Oh, The Preserving Promise." I said, "Nope." And I just took the card back from him. I just took it away. I said, "Nope, you can't read. So shame on you." Now, that was at Warped Tour, and that was after like 40 days of being in 100-degree weather. So I was a little irritated. But, you know, it was hard to read. It was hard to understand. It was something that mattered to us as band members because it was a mantra for ourselves. It was that we weren't going to give up. We weren't going to quit. And you know what? It wasn't marketable at all. This is when we were young. We didn't know at all what we were doing. You know, we went out, we did plenty of tours. We had lots of fun. We made money. We did the things that you're supposed to do in the music industry, but it kind of felt like trying to make a snowball with powder. You know, it fell apart. After talking with a bunch of people in the industry and after, you know, bringing in as many mentors as we could, and honestly, after hitting rock bottom, we were emotionally drained. We were tired. We didn't want to make music anymore. We'd been trying so hard for so long and we couldn't find repeatable formulas. You know, it was like some days were a total smash out of the park and some days were, you know, pulling teeth without Novocaine. And so we ended up getting all these mentors together, having a bunch of people, you know, talk essentially. And Jesse actually ended up saying, you know, I really like the name Alive in Barcelona. Now, there wasn't anything in particular that stuck out about it, you know, and as we talked about it, it kind of felt like, again, another mantra for us. And I think this one fell into place so much better because it was like, you know, we are still persevering. You know, we're not forsaking that. We're not eliminating that. But we've been everywhere in this country repeatedly. So what's the next step? Well, the next step is Europe. You know, the next step is getting to where, you know, the next step in our career. And so for us, again, it was kind of had the same feel when that name was put on the table, because it was like, hey, you know, like, yeah, you know, again, this is like personal growth, personal achievement. And that was kind of the whole thing with the persevering promise, was that, you know, this is about continuing on and making a promise to ourselves that basically we weren't going to give up on our dreams, even if we weren't, you know, even if we weren't making it, we were going to figure out how to. And so that name kind of evolved, you know, and it was Jesse's great idea. So then we took that to our mentors and they were all like, yeah, this is a way better name. This is way more marketable. It's easy to remember. You know, like every single time I said the persevering promise, people said, what? Now when I say, oh, Alive in Barcelona, they say, that's a sweet name. A really good way for you to tell if you have something good, post it and see if people hate on it. The haters will tell you 10 times out of 10 if they don't like your stuff. And the more haters you have, the better it's going to be. One of the first things that we heard after the rebrand and after we dropped our first song was somebody saying, oh my gosh, what a ripoff of Buried in Verona. None of us had even heard of that band before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I guess. Yeah. They both say in, you know, dead and alive, I guess. And then a place, like, sure. But, you know, how many bands can you say like, oh, look, Of Mice and Men. Oh, you're just copying As I Lay Dying because your band name is named after a book. Like, gag me with a field mouse. Do your own thing. Ignore the haters, but you want them. Like, the bottom line is there was a study done years ago about how many times somebody will share negative content versus how many times they'll share positive content. And in a lot of ways, like Asking Alexandria ended up getting a huge amount of publicity from naysayers. You can go back and watch. They may have deleted it by now, but like Sleeping with Sirens, the very first video they ever put out is like a live video. And Kellen sounds awful, like absolutely horrible. Can't hit any high notes or anything like that. He sounds like a chicken screeching. It's bad. But you know what? People shared that and shared that and shared that. And then people said, well, I want to make my own opinion. And then they went and saw him live and they said, wow, this is actually a lot better than that one single video. Like, maybe we'll actually formulate our own opinion. So don't worry about the haters. That's exactly what you need in life, is haters. And the more people hate on you, the better you're doing. So keep that in mind. But for us, when we made our switch to Alive in Barcelona, it really, really ignited a fire inside of us again, you know? And it that one was for you, James.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We fell in love with playing music again. That feeling of like brokenness that we had of just like, I don't want to say hating music, but I just kind of equate it to like, you know, does a professional chef want to come home and cook for his family? Like, no, they don't. We were so tired of music. We were so tired of trying to find ways to make things work that we were burnt out. We said to ourselves, we were like, look, guys, we're going to give this one last hurrah. We're going to try. And if it doesn't happen, well, then we're going to bow out. You know, that was like 4 years ago. And then we released Back to Life, which everybody loved. We developed more contacts from that song, from our rebrand. I mean, and I kid you not, the power of a rebrand, we made more ground in the first 6 months being alive in Barcelona than we did in 6 years as the Persevering Promise. You know, now after our rebrand, we have, you know, like 2.5 million streams now. We have contacts all over the country. We have radio play. We've had top 100 songs. The industry has opened up. We've had better tours. Everything about it has basically elevated us to a, you know, playing at a different level. And so if you're worried about a rebrand, you should be, because it's tough, and take your time. It costs a lot of money. Like, we had to get all new logos. We had to get a new font that correlated with our logos. We had to get album art. Then all of our album art that came with our first album, we needed to make live art, our cab art, our scrims, things like that. And it all needed to correspond with each other. Then on top of that, when we did our releases, we needed to make sure that all of our digital art matched that. All of our banners, it pointed towards something. When we did our releases, we needed to make sure that we had a promo video to promote a video. And then we would release the video. We needed to make sure we have constant social media content. And each and every one of these things could never abandon the brand. That's hard to do. And so luckily for us, we failed a whole bunch. We failed a lot. And you can either fail or you can learn. Now, if you learn, then you don't really fail. The only people who fail are the people who quit. That's not even the way to say it, but it's the truth. The only reason that certain bands are huge is because they're still there. They're still working. You know, Ballyhoo is still playing music, no matter what. They're not doing these crazy headlining festivals. They're not the main act at Riot Fest. You don't go to Lollapalooza and say like, oh, we're going to see Ballyhoo. That's the headliner on the main stage. But you know what they are doing? They're following their passion and they made things work. Your rebrand should basically try, you know, you have to work through a whole bunch of stuff to figure out exactly what works for you. And then when you get there, you have to stop and smell the roses. You got to make sure your branding's consistent. When you get a good brand and you know it, it bleeds over into every other aspect of your business. So we had a new logo, so that means that we also needed new merch. We had a new name. We needed new merch. We needed new websites. We needed, everything. Everything that you've already paid for, we had to repay for it. We had to do it all over again. And you know what? 6 months later, we saw results. And that was incredible. That was revitalizing, rejuvenating. It was enlightening. It made us once again feel like music was what we were supposed to do. And slowly but surely, over the course of the last couple of years, things have only continued to go up and up and up and up. And hopefully we can continue on that same trend, but it's still a lot of work. And it's still consistent to that rebrand. It's still consistent to our logo, our brand, our music, our imagery. Everything is all tied into one. And so, yeah, rebranding is a total pain. It's a hard decision that you have to make. I once listened to a talk from a man who calls himself a serial entrepreneur. And he said something that will always stick with me. And that is that he never starts a business about something he's passionate about. He only starts businesses about things that he likes. And the reason is because at a certain point in that business, you have to make a hard decision. Something that you are passionate about, your baby, you're something that you've built, something that you've spent up, stayed awake all hours of the night writing songs or coming up with a name, that's really hard to let go. Your pride wants to hold on to that so bad because the idea of setting down your baby is terrible. Nobody wants to do that. But you know what? If you are just looking at this and saying, look, I like this. I like this a lot. And I need to take a step back and understand that sometimes you have to make hard decisions concerning your baby and make sure that you, A, bring in mentors to make sure that, you can have it. This is why we really say that community is the best, is because you might be jaded. You might have clouded vision, and that's just all there is to it. You're in love with your music. You're in love with your band, or hopefully you are. I mean, that's the goal. The goal is to be in love with what you do. The goal is to create art that you love that appeals to your fans. I know too many artists who like only make music for their fans or who only make music for themselves. And I will tell you right now that the people that do that are not as successful as the people who do both. Set aside the passion for a second and talk to yourself and say, what's going to be the best decision for my band? Maybe your band name is Lugubrious Jack, and you want to do all these different things. You want to be a jack of all trades or whatever. Maybe that's your gimmick. The point is, that's not going to be marketable. And if somebody comes to you and tells you that, no matter how hell-bent you are on keeping that name or pursuing that branding, trust the mentors. Don't get overly passionate about the wrong things in your music. Be passionate about creating beautiful, beautiful content. Be passionate about making art that punches people in the heart. Now that we've rebranded, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about like, oh, is that, you know, like with the Persevering Promise, it was like the first struggle was getting them to say the name. If your struggle is getting them to pronounce your band name, you don't have a good band name. Think about rebranding. Think about getting some professional designers to make you a logo and a font. Make that logo so identifiable that you can plaster it on everything. You can make t-shirts and shorts and underwear and bracelets and stickers and posters with that branding on it. When you think of Apple, Apple has changed their logo, I think, 3 times in their history. Okay? This is a company that's been around 50 years, and they've changed their logo 3 times. The first one was a colorful apple. They've all been an apple. The first one was an apple with, I think, every color of the rainbow on it. And then I think the second one was the gray apple. And then the third one, they kept the same gray apple. They put a little swoosh in the middle of it and put a gradient on it. It's been the same thing the entire time. And the only thing that they've done is modernize that same identifiable logo. McDonald's, they've had 2 logos. The first one was a hamburger man. The second one was the golden arches. Everybody knows that where the golden arches are, there's a McDonald's. They've branded so well that people know the golden arches. That's what this is all about. Don't think about the brand, you know, don't be so attached to your band name. Or here's a simple way to put it. Don't be so attached to trivial things that you forget why you're in a band. You are a musician to make music. You are not a business logo designer. You are not a serial entrepreneur. You're a musician. So make sure that you get the trivial stuff out of the way so that you can focus on the meat. You've got to be able to focus on that content. Because if you can't focus on the content, then you're going to be fighting an uphill battle from step one.
Absolutely. And I think it's so incredibly important. You know, what you were saying about the Persevering Promise versus Alive in Barcelona. I remember when we first met, I had so much trouble remembering your band's name.
Right.
And then as soon as I heard of Alive in Barcelona, I was like, oh, Alive in Barcelona. Cool. So what you're describing is absolutely true. Like, we were friends and I couldn't even remember your band's name.
Yep.
So how is some random stranger at Warped Tour going to remember it?
Like I said, I literally handed something that had it written on it. They couldn't read it. If you can look at the band name and not actually know what the band name is, you don't have a successful name. And we had to learn that the hard way. It took us 6 years to learn that. We were caught up in pride. We were caught up in passion. And instead, all that did was burn us out and make us feel like we didn't belong. Then we rebranded and then it was like, oh, cool. Now we're having like major US tours. Now we're having like radio campaigns. Now we're having, you know, things exploded. It was night and day.
Absolutely. So death metal bands who have a logo that looks like a pile of twigs, please take note. If no one can read your logo, they have no idea who you are. Like, there have been bands that I know the name and I look at their logo. I'm like, I can't figure out where it says their name in there. Like, there's no way that says their name. It's that bad sometimes. So visual identity matters. Get that out of the way. And if you have a good brand, you know, we've mentioned them on the show before, Rammstein, they have had essentially the same logo for almost 30 years. I think it's like 26 years at this point. They haven't changed because they have an amazing brand. So figure out a good brand now, use that, and stick with it. That does it for episode 59 of the Band Hive podcast. Thanks so much for listening to this episode and hearing about the changes we are making. We're really excited for what we'll be able to do from now on with this new, more recognizable branding and building a community around that. If you want to join our Facebook group, you can find it at bandhive.rocks/group. That'll automatically redirect you, or you can search for Band Hive on Facebook to join in the app. One thing, just to circle back, we are going to be changing our website. So it's now going to be bandhive.rocks, and our emails will be support@bandhive.rocks, james@bandhive.rocks, matt@bandhive.rocks, and aaron@bandhive.rocks. thanks again for sticking with us this first year. And like I said, we really hope that this branding change will let us build an even stronger community. So thank you to everyone who's part of the Facebook group, who follows us on Instagram, who sends us questions, topic requests, all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much to everyone. We hope you're having a great start to 2021. Here's to shows coming back with the vaccine working. Let's keep our fingers crossed for all that so that the music industry can return in full force sooner rather than later. We'll be back with another episode next Tuesday at 6 a.m. Thank you so much again. We really hope you have a great week. Stay well, stay healthy, all that kind of stuff. And of course, as always, keep rocking.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, with the headphones or the speakers. You've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. While I still have you here, if you're not already in the Bandhive Facebook community, it would be great to see you there. We have over 600 like-minded musicians who are asking questions, sharing their experiences and advice, and much more. So if you want to improve your band's business, look no further than the Bandhive Facebook community. You can find it by searching for Bandhive on Facebook, that's B-A-N-D-H-I-V-E, or going to bandhive.rocks/group. Again, that's bandhive.rocks/group, and that will automatically redirect you to our Facebook community. I look forward to seeing you there soon.